Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Art Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Our Perfect Storm by Carly Fortune is a contemporary romance centered on Frankie Gardner and George St. James, longtime friends whose bond is strained after Frankie is left reeling from a failed wedding. George proposes a week in Tofino, framed as a substitute honeymoon and an attempt to help her recover. But the trip also forces both characters to confront unresolved feelings and the damage caused by years of incomplete honesty. The novel fits within the friends-to-lovers and second-chance romance traditions, but its focus is not only romantic fulfillment. It examines how friendship can become emotionally complicated when affection, loyalty, secrecy, and timing are all entangled. The West Coast setting, with its rain, surf, forests, and changeable weather, functions as more than scenery. It mirrors the volatility of the relationship and gives the story a contained space in which old assumptions can be tested. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, a friendship-first romance built on accumulated emotional history. The central relationship in Our Perfect Storm depends on the weight of a decade-long friendship rather than the immediate chemistry of strangers meeting for the first time. This changes the emotional logic of the romance. Frankie and George do not have to discover basic compatibility. They already understand each other deeply in some ways. The tension comes from the fact that such familiarity can make honesty both easier and more dangerous. A casual admission between acquaintances might carry little cost, but a confession between longtime friends can threaten the entire structure of the relationship. Fortune uses this dynamic to show how affection can remain hidden inside habits of loyalty, teasing, caretaking, and avoidance. The romance, therefore, develops less as a sudden realization than as a reclassification of feelings that have existed for some time. This gives the book a reflective quality. It asks whether friendship is strengthened or endangered when unspoken desire is finally named, and whether emotional intimacy without direct communication can become its own form of distance. Secondly, the collapsed wedding turns heartbreak into a forced reckoning. Frankie's failed wedding is more than an inciting incident. It strips away the future she had expected and places her in a state where ordinary routines no longer protect her from difficult questions. George's suggestion that they take a honeymoon-style week in Tofino gives the plot a clear frame, but the more important function is psychological. The trip removes Frankie from the social context of the wedding disaster and places her beside the person who knows her well enough to comfort her, yet not safely enough to avoid conflict. This setup creates a productive tension between recovery and confrontation. Frankie wants relief from pain, while the circumstances also expose older emotional fractures that the wedding collapse did not create but makes impossible to ignore. The book uses this moment of disruption to examine how romantic disappointment can reveal other unresolved attachments. Rather than treating heartbreak as a simple obstacle before the real romance begins, the story makes it part of the process through which Frankie reassesses trust, desire, and self-protection. Thirdly, Tofino functions as an emotional pressure system, not just a backdrop. The Tofino setting is one of the book's defining features because it gives the romance a physical environment that reflects and intensifies the character's emotional state. The West Coast landscape, associated with rain, ocean, rainforest, and fast-changing weather, supports the idea of a perfect storm in both literal and relational terms. A contained week away from home narrows the narrative field, reducing distractions and making avoidance harder. At the same time, the wildness of the setting prevents the retreat from feeling calm or purely restorative. It becomes a place where grief, attraction, resentment, and tenderness can surface in quick succession. This use of place is important to the book's structure. Tofino is not simply described for atmosphere, it shapes the rhythm of the story by encouraging proximity, reflection, and emotional exposure. In this way, Fortune aligns the external weather with the internal weather of the relationship, making the setting a catalyst for change rather than decorative scenery. Fourthly, miscommunication is treated as a long-term relational habit. But a major source of conflict in Our Perfect Storm is the gap between what Frankie and George feel and what they are willing or able to say. In many romances, miscommunication can feel like a temporary device used to delay resolution. Here, it is more closely tied to the history of the relationship. The characters have learned patterns of restraint because they value the friendship and fear the consequences of disrupting it. Their silence is therefore understandable, even when it causes pain. This makes the conflict less about a single misunderstanding and more about the cumulative cost of emotional self-editing. The book suggests that knowing someone for years does not guarantee clarity. In fact, familiarity can encourage assumptions that replace direct conversation. The practical insight is that loyalty without vulnerability can become unstable. If affection is protected by secrecy for too long, the relationship may appear secure while quietly accumulating pressure. The romance progresses as the characters begin to test whether honesty can repair what avoidance has strained. Lastly, the 7-day structure creates intimacy while testing reader patience. The story's compressed time frame gives our perfect storm momentum and emotional concentration. By moving quickly from the aftermath of the wedding to a week in Tofino, the novel places Frankie and George in close quarters with limited room to postpone difficult conversations. This structure is effective for a romance built around buried feelings because it forces small interactions to carry significant weight. A glance, argument, shared memory, or moment of care can shift the emotional balance. At the same time, the structure creates a challenge. Long-standing wounds and unspoken feelings cannot always be resolved with the speed that a vacation plot encourages. The book, therefore, depends on whether readers accept the intensity of a short retreat as believable for characters with a long shared past. Its pacing may feel emotionally rich to readers who enjoy slow unraveling within a tight frame, but it may test those who prefer cleaner conflict or faster romantic certainty. This balance between immediacy and messiness is central to the novel's appeal. In conclusion, Our Perfect Storm is best suited to readers who enjoy contemporary romance with emotional density, especially those drawn to friends-to-lover stories where the central obstacle is not lack of attraction, but the fear of damaging a relationship that already matters. It will also appeal to readers who value a strong sense of place, since the Tofino setting helps define the book's mood and structure. The practical benefit of the novel lies in its attention to communication, perspective, and the difficulty of being honest with someone whose opinion carries deep personal weight. Intellectually, it invites reflection on how friendship and romance can overlap without becoming simple or harmless. Compared with lighter vacation romances, the book stands out because the trip is not primarily escapist. The coastal retreat functions as a pressure chamber where grief from a collapsed wedding, older silences, and hidden desire converge. Compared with many second-chance romances, its emphasis is less on reunion after separation and more on the risk of transforming an existing bond. Readers looking for sharp banter alone may find the emotional complications slower than expected, but readers who appreciate relational messiness, atmospheric settings, and gradual vulnerability are likely to find its approach distinctive within the genre. If you would like to support Carly Fortune, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.